adialiptos is a powerful word. It's in the imperative mode of the Greek, and it means constant, reoccurring prayer and growing and developing into that prayer.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, Wonder Lake. Good to see bodies and chairs and all of that. And then I want to say a special hello to Seattle, Washington. Our son's out there as a worship leader, and then our daughter-in-law's out there, which we love so very much. And a buddy of mine, who's my prayer partner, one of my prayer partners, he folds his hands when I say, hey, Papa wants to pray. His name is Charlie Nash Beckler. He's our little two-year-old grandson. So Charlie, out there, Papa's waving to you, and you pray and pray with me as Papa prays this morning, all right? Cool? All right, bud? Are you talking to me? All right, good. So it is great to be with you guys. It's great to worship our Lord through song, through communion, and celebrate his goodness and celebrate freedom and all that Christ has done. We praise him for all of that. Amen? Yeah. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to do this. Open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just have one little text this morning. I think it'll be up on the screen somewhere. So there it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. I want to read it, but then I want to pray. So you guys ready to go and worship him through the Word of God this morning? Charlie, you listening? Thanks, bud. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 12. It says this, Paul writes these final words to the church at Thessalonica, and he's got some powerful instructions for them to live by and for us. So he says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It's Pastor Dan. So we got to respect that man. Amen? And are those elders who had now been nominated, all of that, and love them, and deacons, all of that, and all through our country, in that sense, within the body of Christ, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, which is the work of the ministry of the gospel. Then it says, be at peace. We need that today, don't we? Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you. There's an urgency here. We beg you. We implore you. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Now, it's not like walk around and go, you're lazy and you're lazy and you're lazy and you're lazy, but love them, encourage them, help them, lift them up. We have a tendency to take Scripture wrong sometimes, and so we just want to walk around and say, hey, come on, get involved. You lazy person, that's not very helpful, not very good. So, but admonish them and love them. It says encourage the faint-hearted. We need to do that, lift them up, help them, carry them through prayer and just good words of encouragement. Help the weak. So be patient with them all. We need to be patient with each other. Right now throughout our country, we're really lacking patience within the body of Christ, lacking patience, really struggling with all of these words, final words, strong words, powerful words to a body of believers, and he's saying, here's how I want you to live. These are really clear instructions, but they're very hard to live. Don't you agree? Yeah, I think so. I know I struggle with all of them. It says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. That's one mentioned again in Paul's letters, and it's kind of like, don't punch back. You know, when you go to the doctor, I don't know if they do it anymore, I haven't been to the doctor in a while, they tap your knee, and then your knee does, it kind of jumps, right? So it's the idea, somebody gets you with words, somebody says something that you don't like, the response is just to punch back, kick back, give some words back that hurt somebody. Well, he says, Paul says to these folks, don't do that stuff. I mean, just don't do it, but always, but instead of punching back, but always seek to do good to one another and then to everybody. Everybody. Seek to do good to everybody. I mean, everyone. That's not always easy to do either. So strong words, and then in the midst of these final instructions, It's like he's got this super glue that needs, this super glue of mystery that needs to be involved in all of our lives. Every day, every second, every hour, every minute. It's that glue, that mystery, that deep mystery that keeps all of this happening. So one of the shortest verses in the entire Bible, three words, prosuke or prosukamai adialiptos, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Pray all the time and all the time. And all the time, and all the time, and all the time, and never stop praying. And people say, well, how do you do that when you drive your car? I can't close my eyes. Well, keep your eyes open and pray without ceasing. Prosukamai adialiptos. That word, adialiptos, is a powerful word. It's in the imperative mode of the Greek, and it means constant, reoccurring prayer and growing and developing into that prayer. So Paul says, in the midst of all these instructions, a lot of words, hard to do, love, pray, that'll help you. Esteem those who are over you, pray, that'll help you. Don't punch back, but pray. So how come you're not pushing back? Well, I'm praying. How come you're not slapping me? I'm praying. How come you're not saying bad words? I'm praying. How come you're not grumpy and miserable and, you know, how come? Because I'm praying. Because that's the glue. And yet that's the mystery. So he goes on and he says, give thanks in all circumstances, in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies or the teaching of the word. Test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to give the Greek word, you just kind of go, okay, what it means there in the original language is just all of it. Abstain from every evil, every form of that which would be against God. So powerful instructions. Very pointed, I think very clear. I mean, it's just right there. And yet it's really hard to do. All of this is really hard to do. Really hard to do. I mean, really hard to do. It's like we were just watching a video of Charlie out in Seattle, and they're just training Charlie, trying to grow him up to be a little godly young man. And so we make cookies, and Linda sends him cookies, and he calls them Ma's cookies, and he gets all excited. And the other day, Tiffany had on Instagram, or whatever it was, Facebook, Instagram, this little video of Charlie where they're trying to train him to obey, to do some of what's said here by Paul. And so Tiffany put a cookie on his little tray, his eating tray, and said, now don't take that, like right there, you guys know, on that little tray, right, don't take that until Mama says you can have it. You need to wait. You need to listen. Paul's saying you need to listen. You need to do these things. How hard is it? And you put that cookie right in front of that little boy, and Mama's going to go do something. You wait. You don't touch that. And then she walked out of the room, and he was just sitting there silently in that little chair looking at that cookie. 2 years old. How hard is that? How hard is that? And you could hear that little voice go, oh, cookie. Oh, cookie. And then his little hand would go out to get it. He'd go, no. No. I mean, we watched him. We said, they're torturing our grandson. I mean, we would never do that. And I'm sure our kids are going, oh, you did that stuff all the time. I mean, it's like they were torturing him. And I just wanted to go, Charlie, eat the cookie. Paul's saying, don't eat the cookie. Obey, listen. Now, I don't know if Charlie, I didn't see him fold his little hands and go, oh, dear Jesus, don't let me eat the cookie. But that's the point. And finally, Tiffany walked back in, and she was like, Charlie, you waited. You waited for Mama. You didn't eat the cookie. And you could just see him like saying, tell me to eat it. And finally she said, okay, you can have it. And that little hand, boom, it went out, grabbed it in his mouth. And he just started humming his little tune like, oh, cookie, cookie, cookie. How hard is it to do that, to wait, to be patient, to do good, to abstain from evil, and not grab the cookie, to do what God asked us to do? And Paul is saying, here's the gift, here's the mystery, here's the glue, here's what makes it, I really believe this. I believe this, believe this, believe this, and I struggled putting this little homily together, this little talk, and I battled, and I believe with all of my heart in the midst of this, these three words, prosukamai, prosuke, pray without adialiptos. I mean live in a constant state of communion with the Godhead. Live there. I mean live there. It is what I call, prayer is what I call that great mystery. It's commanded. Jesus modeled it. The first church, I mean the early church, they were crazy prayer people. They couldn't help themselves but to pray. And it's documented through scripture and through church tradition. They loved to pray. But wow, what a great mystery. I remember when my mom told me when I was a little boy I was probably 9 months old, something like that. I wasn't a year old yet. And I used to get croup really bad, like really, really bad. If you know what croup is, trachea closes off, you stop breathing, it's horrible. I remember that even as a little boy, like being a year or two or whatever it was. And I was horrible, and it hurts, and you cough. And my mom said, at 9 months or whatever, I was on the operating table. The doctor came out and said, we're not sure this little guy is going to make it. And the doctor looked at my mother and said, you better pray. My mom said she dropped to her knees. In the great mystery of that great gift, the glue that keeps life together, in the mystery of providence, and my mother pleaded with God, in the mystery of it all, for my life and for my soul. And the doctor walked out a few minutes later and he said, I don't know what happened, but he's breathing fine. We're not going to have to do this. Prayer is that great mystery. I don't understand it all. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, why am I even preaching about it? I'm not sure Paul understood it all. The Son of God understood it. He modeled it for us. The disciples, the apostles, the first century church, I'm not sure they understood it all, but they did it. Prosuke adialiptos. Couldn't help themselves. It was impulsive. It was intrinsic. It was inherent. It just happened. It flowed out of them, and yet it was a great mystery. The word mystery is an incredible word. It means something or someone that's inscrutable. Prayer is inscrutable. Prayer is mystical. Prayer is not easily explained, and yet we try to explain it. We preach on it. Prayer, a mystery, that word mystery is prayer is puzzling. The word mystery, it's puzzling. It is exciting. It rouses our curiosity, and yet it's a mystery. But it grabs us. There it is right there in the text. Three words, powerful words. Inspired truth. Here it is. It's the glue. Charles Spurgeon said, Pastor Dan and I were talking about this the other day. Spurgeon said, and this quote is a mystery to me. If you read Charles Spurgeon at all, you'll go, this is a mystery. Spurgeon said, prayer is the tiny nerve that moves the muscles of our omnipotent God. Now to me, we talked about that, Pastor Dan. That's a great mystery to me, knowing Spurgeon. Prayer is the nerve, tiny nerve, that moves the muscles of our omnipotent God. Prayer moves God? God's omniscient. God is sovereign. God's got plans. God's got purposes. Providence. C.S. Lewis said, Another guy that I love and respect, and yet C.S. Lewis said, prayer does nothing to change the mind of God or change God. Almost the opposite. Prayer never moves God, but prayer changes me and moves me. So which one's right? You've got a philosopher, a medieval teacher. Some people say a theologian. Some people say he's not in Lewis. And then you've got Charles Spurgeon, who everybody says, oh my goodness, the prince of preachers. And it seems like, in a sense, they contradict themselves theologically and doctrinally. And yet my mother prayed, God spared my life. My mother prayed on her knees, God saved my life, as we worship this morning through communion, from his eternal wrath, his judgment. God has caused me to be his new creation in Jesus Christ. What a mystery. And my mother would say, and she's with the Lord right now, she would say, Chucky, it's because your mother got on her knees and prosuke adialiptos, begged and pleaded and wept for your soul. I think it's that mystery, it's a gift. A gift is a present. You get a gift and it's like, open it up. Enjoy this baby. I remember when my sister got engaged at Christmas when I was a kid. You know, we're all sitting in the living room and she got this little box. It was bigger than a ring box. And you know, everybody's like, what's in there? What's in there? What's in there? And you could just see my sister's eyes. We have the old home films. You could see her eyes like, oh my goodness. And the family was anticipating the opening up of this gift. And when she finally opened it up, when she opened up the gift that was given to her, you could just see her bubble with lifelong enthusiasm. This man that has loved me now has formally said to me with this ring, come on, baby, marry me. Be my girl. And they've been married over 50 years now. That's crazy. But I remember that, the excitement. The joy. And then I remember my father got me a gift one time at Christmas time when I was a little boy. And now my sister was excited, got me this gift. And so I was open it up. And so excited. And then when I opened it up, I just went, oh. It was a Lionel. Now I'm excited about it. It was a Lionel locomotive engine. It's from the 1950s. I still have it. But at that moment, I was like, oh, we only put these trains up once a year. I'm going to get to play with this once a year, and that's it. And then my dad's going to put it away, and that's it. And I sat there almost in tears, and he's like, well, what's wrong, Chuck? And I'm like, this is it. You see, there's a way to open a gift and go, yeah. And there's a way to open a gift and go, oh. And so many of us as Christians, you know, we look at this gift of prayer, that mysterious gift that rouses our curiosity, that confuses us. It is mystical. It's not easy to explain. We try to teach on it, and yet we just need to open that baby up and go, yes, and enjoy it. And to do it. I believe this, that gift is given by God to man. Every Christian man or woman, to enjoy daily, second by second, minute by minute. You know that old song, minute by minute by minute, all the time. Adialiptos, let it grow, let it develop. And I hesitate. I almost changed this. I almost called Pastor Dan last night and said, I'm not speaking on prayer. Because we hear prayer, we talk about prayer, everybody speaks on prayer, and we do prayer, but it's just almost like we hear it so much, and this is a great mysterious gift, and yet, you know, we just don't open it up enough. John MacArthur says, the first fellowship, the early church was eagerly and persistently engaged into the critical duty of prayer, opening the gift. Sadly, MacArthur goes on to say, prayer is much neglected in the church today. Programs, concerts, entertainment draw the large crowds. Prayer meetings only attract the faithful few. I remember years ago when Moody Church was doing, you know, a bunch of concerts of prayer. When that was the hip thing, the cool thing. And they were saying, hey, come and pray with us. We're going to have Johnny Erickson lead you. We're going to have James Dobson lead you. And it became a celebrity fest. And so people flocked, and they had to get tickets to go pray. If they would have just been, hey, nobody knows who's going to lead this. Will you come and pray? I just wonder how many would have showed up. We tried concerts of prayer in this community. We tried to work on those, gather the churches, let's do this thing. And yet it's really hard to do, and yet it's this beautiful gift, mysterious, that keeps life together. I love it. And I love it that my little grandson goes, when I say, "Is Papa's going to pray," folds his hands. I love it. I was pulling out of my driveway this morning. My neighbor said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to preach, Francisco." He said, "Pray for me." I said, "Let's do it right now." And I prayed pulling out of the drive. We prayed together right there. I love praying with people. I don't got it all together. I'm working at it. But I want Prosuke Adialyptos. I want it to live in my life and Linda's life. I want it for my grandson Charlie, my grandson Travis. I want it for my sons, my daughters-in-law. The Lord Jesus wants it for the body of Christ. And MacArthur says we neglect it. And then he goes on and says, that is undoubtedly the reason for much of the weakness in the church today. Why we struggle today. Why we argue today. Spurgeon also says prayer, this mysterious gift of prayer, that gift, that mysterious gift, is such difficult work. It's so hard to open up that it must be commanded by God. Pray without ceasing, imperative. Keeps life together. So how do we practically experience this in loving obedience to God? How do we do this on a regular basis, daily, enjoy it, experience this gift? Maybe somebody needs to grab us by the throat and say, let's do this thing. So Paul's kind of doing it in the text. Hey, Thessalonians, I think he grabbed them and said, let's do this thing. Let's enjoy this thing. Let's open the gift. I was preaching in a church, I don't know, somewhere, and I was preaching on prayer, actually. There was two services, and I got through and first service, and I was waiting for the next service, and this little man, about 85 years old, walked up to me, and he said, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. I was like, what did I do wrong? And he said, I just want to talk to you. And he goes, why didn't you grab us and make us do it? You talked about it enough. Why didn't you grab us and make us do it? We hear sermons upon sermons. We read the text, Prosuke Adialyptos. Why didn't you make us do it? You make anybody do anything, maybe not really good, right? Unless the Holy Spirit makes us do it. I was sitting in my office as a youth pastor. There was a guy in our youth ministry who knew karate. He was incredible. And I'm sitting there, and this guy walks into my office. He goes, Beckler. I said, what, Doug? He walked up, and he put a hold on my neck that paralyzed my body. I was like, ugh. And then he kind of lifted me up with that hold, walked me out to this other room, and then he laid me on the floor, dropped me to my knees, laid me on the floor, kept the hold on my neck, put me there and said, you need to learn how to pray more. And he started praying. I said, oh man, can you imagine if Pastor Dan did that? I mean, he hangs out with the rescue guys, the police guys. Maybe he knows karate now. Maybe he's a kung fu guy. Maybe he's got it all put together and he's going to walk up and he's going to start getting that hold on you guys and dropping you down. But no, we don't want that. We don't want to be manipulated and forced and coerced by others. We want the Spirit of God through the Word of God to grab our lives, our hearts, drop us to our knees so there is a movement of powerful prayer that we cannot understand except it's by His Spirit. This country needs revival. This country needs repentance. This country needs a work of God's grace desperately. And I believe it begins through prayer. John Bunyan said this, prayer is a command of God, such a command that brings those, this is so good, John Bunyan, old Pilgrim's Progress guy, that brings those who have the spirit of supplication, brings it into great familiarity or friendship with God. Prayer is the opener of the heart to God and a means by which the soul, though empty, is filled. She opened that gift of prayer, that mysterious gift. and your soul is filled, Bunyan says. He goes on and says, by prayer, the Christian can open his heart to God as to a friend and obtain fresh testimony or proof of God's love and God's friendship and God's kindness and God's mercy to the individual Christian. So why don't we do it? Why don't we open the gift? I believe this, the enemy works really hard to give any reason, and he works hard spiritually against us to keep us from engaging in opening the gift. When I was a little boy, my dad used to drag me off to all-night prayer meetings. And these men were probably younger than me at that point, but I thought they were like ancient. And I'd sit there and I'd watch these little men pray. And I mean, they poured out their hearts. Prosuke adialiptos. And I knew they did it in their lives. Some of them would actually fall asleep while praying. You know, as a little boy, you giggle and you get in trouble for that. They fall off their chairs. I saw one man fall off. His false teeth came out, slid across the floor. I so wanted to grab those and stick them in my pocket. And so then when he came out of that stupor, he'd be like, where'd my teeth go? I wasn't going to do that. So I love you guys. I love the privilege to be at Wonder Lake Bible Church. I love your pastor. He's a good friend, a great encouragement to my heart. We pray together, and we have prayed together, and there's been concerts of prayer. We need to do more of that. But how do we live this out practically? How do we experience it? What do we do? I mean, what do we do? I mean, I could just stop here and say, let's just do it, right? And maybe somebody's going to come up and grab me by my neck and say, what the heck? Why didn't you make us get down and pray? Why didn't you stop? Why didn't you just shut up and let's pray? Prosuke, just do this. Because I don't want to manipulate you. I want the Spirit of God to grab us. And so what we need to do is this. To pray without ceasing, we need to engage, open the gift. Got it? Just do it. Engage. I'm so glad my parents, I was not a believer as a kid. But I'm so glad they engaged our family in prayer. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, every night after dinner, we'd pray, we'd open the gift. I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. I didn't want it. My sister was always praying for a horse in an apartment building in Logan Square in Chicago. And I'd sit there as a little boy going, God, I don't want that horse. My sister wants it. I don't want it. The great mystery, the great curiosity. Who's going to get answered? Well, guess what? We never got a horse. God must have loved me more. Because I was convinced the horse stable was going to be in my bedroom. But we prayed, and my dad took me off to those prayer meetings. Our family engaged. We were asked to pray. I was not a believer, but we were taught, we were trained. It's the job of parents to do that, engage in their families. It's the job of every believer to engage in their life, for us to gather as believers and to pray, to plead before heaven. Oh, God, help us. Everybody's on Facebook complaining and social media complaining and arguing and biting and punching back what it says don't do in the text. Instead of saying, can somebody say, let's just gather and pray. Just do that. We need to do this because prayer encourages us, man. How do you pray? It encourages us. It encourages us as you go before the Godhead, as you know, Bunyan said, and then it's so encouraging to have somebody pray for you and pray with others. I was speaking in Arizona a few years ago, and I was so discouraged. I was so tired. It was Christmas. I just wanted to be home. I didn't want to be there. It was a large youth conference, and I think the kids knew that I was struggling emotionally, and I needed some encouragement. I got off the elevator one night, and as I was walking to go into the room to speak, about 50 high school kids got around me, and just I thought I was dead. And then they kind of moved me into another room. And I'm like, what are you guys going to do? Because I've had all kinds of things done to me as a youth speaker. And they said, we just want to pray for you. I said, why? Because we love you. And we know you're hurting. We can see it. And so they said, would you get on your knees? And then about 50 kids put their hands on my back, and they about smothered me to the floor. But to hear those high school kids praying and pleading that God would touch my heart, encourage my heart, that I would be lifted up, that I'd be strengthened to go on and teach. And they knew I was missing my family. I wanted to be home. And I had to be loved through that. We need to do that spontaneously in the Jewel, in the Walmarts, in the driveways, with our families, prosuke, adialiptos, just do it. We do everything else. And here's this gift that holds life together. It is heaven's efficacious, loving prescription to enjoy and experience life. I believe that. It helps us, when we pray, it helps us examine our own lives, doesn't it? I was praying this morning going, God, I shouldn't go speak. I sin. I'm horrible. In my flesh, I am gross and revolting to you. And then the beautiful message of the Lord's table comes back just like a tonic, like a potion. The mystery of grace pours over me and says this, you, by my sovereign grace, I have chosen and I love you. Now go in my grace, not in your gross flesh, and love those folks at Wonder Lake because of who I am. And I do love you guys. And we need to have exciting moments of prayer together. Rock in the house. Maybe you guys need to grab Pastor Dan, put the hold on him and say, let's pray. And I know you guys pray when things get back to normal. You have the microphone in the middle, you do it. And maybe that consumes a whole service. When you pray too, prosuke adialiptos, pray without ceasing, it gets your perspective right. You get eternal purpose, you know, perspective. We're so caught up here instead of here. We're so caught up here instead of here. We need to be caught up there. So I believe prayer is, it's explosive enjoyment. Can you say that? Prayer is explosive enjoyment. Come on. Even under your muffled mask there, I want you to say prayer is explosive enjoyment. Come on. Prayer is explosive. I know some of you out there like to blow things up at the 4th of July. I just know it. Or you did at one point. I asked Pastor Dan the other day, what are you going to blow up? He said, I might blow you up if you mess around too much. When I was a kid, I loved blowing everything up. I lived in Chicago, and I don't know if it was legal or not legal. At that point, it didn't matter to me. But somehow, we would get little sticks of almost dynamite, M80s. And I mean, we blew stuff up. It was explosive enjoyment. And I remember a bunch of my buddies, we used to get these 1 gallon paint cans and line up all the cans and put M80s in them and have one fuse, and it would go off like a flashbang bomb. Last night was awesome. My study at midnight, I just heard boom, bang, boom, bang, boom, bang. And I was going, I love this. Oh, God, help me. So we lined them all up. My buddies and I, we lit the fuse. It was right against the wall of a church. Never thinking about what we're doing. Just having fun, man. Explosive enjoyment. Light that baby up. We stood back about 50 yards or 50 feet, whatever it was. And I mean, they just started going off. It was incredible. In an alley in Chicago, we set that whole church and the back wall on fire. And then we all stood there going, ah, what did we do? And of course, everybody scattered. And then you heard the sirens and we were all out of there. You're going, Chuck, what does this have to do with the sermon at all? Because I'm convinced prayer is explosive enjoyment. That's why we have it here. It's a mysterious gift. It's the glue. It holds things together. But it's explosive in our lives. It's enjoyment in our lives. We need to light the fuse, open the gift, plan, blowing some stuff up spiritually. And do it. Our founding fathers, there's so much controversy about these guys today, it's just incredible. But our founding fathers, I've got a book called Prayers of Our Founding Fathers. It's a great book. I've been reading it all through the week, Lynn and I. So I brought one, then I'm through. Then if you want to blow me up, you can blow me up. Or we could blow something up. But listen to this. 26, Continental Congress, proclamation of a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. William Livingston, I've got him by Sam Adams, John Adams. I've even got old Ben Franklin. I'm not going to read them all. I've got. It's incredible. And yet we've been told they're all horrible. Now listen to this proclamation. To the people of our country, we're celebrating Independence Day. They believed in prosukeadialiptos. John Witherspoon, the first chaplain of the Congress, was the chaplain that called the Congress to pray all the time. I was out there with a homeschool group, and we were in that hall where they wrote the deck, you know, they signed on. And it was incredible. And I asked the guy running the whole tour, I said, so did our Congress, did they pray? Did they open with prayer? And the guy running the tour, the official government guy, said, absolutely not. In front of everybody. And I said, respectfully, I said, sir, I disagree with you strongly. It is historical fact that we're rewriting history. They did pray in here. And he said, they did not, sir. At that point, I hushed. He moved everybody out. I looked at that homeschool group of kids and I said, but we're going to pray right now for our country in this room. And we prayed in that hall in Philadelphia. Listen to this. Desirous to have a people of all ranks, 1776, and degrees duly impressed with a solemn sense of God's superintending providence and of their duty, devoutly to rely in all their lawful enterprises on his aid and direction. The Congress of the United States earnestly recommends that we confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions. And by a sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease his righteous displeasure, and through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ, obtain his pardon and forgiveness. This is Congress, 1776, and yet we're rewriting history, and they're saying no. And that God would be pleased to bless all his people with health and plenty and grant that a spirit of incorruptible patriotism and a pure, undefiled religion may universally, by the grace of God and his mercy, prevail. And our leaders pray. Prosuke adialiptos, the mysterious gift. Engage. Engage. Experience it. Enjoy it. Let it be explosive in your life for the glory of God. Amen?
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.